Let's start by admitting most of us probably don't know what Bitcoin is. Maybe you've heard of it, but few of us really understand it, and fewer agree on what Bitcoin could evolve into. So let's start here. That sounds familiar, right? Handful of pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters. Loose change. Metal alloys pounded into circular shapes that we call currency. There's no argument about what it stands for and its utilitarian value.
E pluribus unum.
You recognize that phrase? Well, pull out the quarter. Grab a dollar bill. Take the 20 out of your wallet or purse. Look for the seal with the eagle on it. That eagle is holding a scroll in its mouth. And look at what's written on that scroll.
E pluribus unum.
It's Latin for out of many, one. The idea is out of all the states of the Union, they are united. In this case, united with one national currency. Imagery and language are important for money. They are important because money is about trust. Trust it will be accepted for the goods and services you want to buy and sell. And trust in its value.
Vires.
In.
Numeris.
While Bitcoin is a digital currency, technically there are no Bitcoins you can jingle in your pocket or stuff in your wallet or purse, some have created actual coins and embedded inside of them the private computer code making them physical representations of the digital Bitcoins. And engraved into those coins?
Vires.
In.
Numeris.
Vires in numeris, Latin for strength in numbers. Just as e pluribus unum, out of many one, sums up the spirit of the American dollar, vires in numeris, strength in numbers, outlines the philosophy of Bitcoin. But really, are we any closer to explaining what Bitcoin is?
Bitcoin is an alternative currency.
Virtual currency.
It's a currency that's not really tied to any kind of bank or government.
It's a worldwide currency.
It is an anonymous form of transaction.
I can't quite describe to you exactly what a Bitcoin looks like or what it's all about.
You know, it's hard to say because it's still kind of confusing.
The easiest way for somebody to think of Bitcoin who is unfamiliar with it is to imagine a box of poker chips.
Essentially as a currency system.
Bitcoin is digital money where you can exchange using keys rather than actual paper money.
It's an internet-wide payment system where any individual from around the world can transfer currencies as well as financial assets into a new financial asset labeled a Bitcoin.
Honestly, the future of the actual money supply, because it's a universal currency.
I understand that it is a mathematical equation. It's an algorithm is what it is.
All right. Do any of those explanations get us any closer to understanding what Bitcoin is? Well, let's try this. One Bitcoin enthusiast compared it to Shimmer. Now, you have to be a student of Saturday Night Live to know what Shimmer is.
New Shimmer is a floor wax.
No, new Shimmer is a dessert topping.
It's a floor wax.
It's a dessert topping.
It's a floor wax, I'm telling
it's
you.
It's a dessert topping, you cow! Hey,
calm down, you two. New Shimmer's a floor wax and a dessert topping.
Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd, and Gilda Radner back in 1976 on SNL, providing us maybe with the 21st century foreign exchange lesson.
Here, I'll spray some on your mop and some on your butterscotch pudding.
Mmm, tastes terrific.
And just look at that shine. But will it last?
Hey.
Well, it's what you want it to be. In our case, Bitcoin. You want it to be a digital currency? Done. You want it to be a global currency? Done. You want it to be a method of electronic payment across political borders with no contact with the banking system or regulators? Done.
New Shimmer, for the greatest shine you ever tasted.
I rang up Andy Bush. Andy used to be the global currency and public policy strategist for Bank of Montreal. He is now editor of the newsletter, The Bush Update.
Hello, Tom, are you there?
Hey, Andy, it's Tom. How are you?
Good, man. It's good, shaking.
Good to talk to you. How do you explain what Bitcoin is?
Well, it's a virtual currency that can be used for a method of payment, which is pretty interesting. It has gotten a tremendous interest from many people who are trying to find a way around the current payment system in which many times the banks and other companies that are involved charge 2 to 3%. With Bitcoin, it's a really de minimis amount of what you get charged for it. And even Ben Bernanke has said that there's a potential future for it in that capacity.
Now, Ben Bernanke is the outgoing chairman of the Federal Reserve. That's the government agency responsible for deciding how much American currency is in circulation. Go back to your dollar bill for a moment. It says right on top, Federal Reserve note. So while not endorsing Bitcoin, Chairman Bernanke's acknowledgement of the potential of virtual currencies is important.
As far as trading it as a currency, well, that's a whole other game. And that's where things get a little bit crazy, as the valuation has fluctuated massively as certain companies have adopted it. And then you have countries like China saying they don't want to use it. They're taking a look at it. They think there's problems with it. So it's a fascinating development as far as a financial product. Its future looks promising, but there are many, many big hurdles to overcome.
Security is one of those concerns, but so is what any currency represents. It's worth.
Value.
Store of value.
Okay, so Bitcoin is like sending an email.
It's a terrible store of value.
Store of value over time.
Store of value.
Value per se.
I think there's even more drawbacks in fiat currency.
It has the potential to be transformative.
But value, right? What's it worth? Back to global currency expert Andy Bush.
There's kind of three uses for a currency, right? I mean, there's the financial use for it, the trading use, in other words, where its value is paired up against another currency. There's the kind of strategic use of it, which I suppose could be best described as the general trend of the value of that currency based upon other global currencies. And then there's the utility of the currency, the usefulness of it for a population to use. Where does Bitcoin fall into that?
Well, I mean, as a store of value, that's a tough one, you know, because that's really important. And that's where the biggest problem, I'd say, for Bitcoin is, even though they say there's a limited amount, they limit the amount of Bitcoin that's out there, it really is a very tricky proposition because, unlike other currencies, it does not have a central authority that can back it up.
There is no Federal Reserve of Bitcoin, at least not how we understand central banks today. There's no Ben Bernanke of Bitcoin. Instead, it uses cryptography to create currency. No one owns the network that generates Bitcoin. It's a network of users. The 2009 white paper, written by a mysterious figure, Satoshi Nakamoto, describes it as, quote, a purely peer-to-peer version of electronic cash to allow online payments to be sent directly from one party to another without going through a financial institution, end quote. For plenty of reasons, there's questions that remain about the identity of the author, Satoshi Nakamoto. From the very beginning, though, as you can hear, Bitcoin was designed to facilitate commerce beyond the modern banking system. This same white paper goes on, quote, what is needed is an electronic payment system based on cryptographic proof instead of trust, allowing any two willing parties to transact directly with each other without the need for a trusted third party, end quote. In other words, technology can trump abstract trust.